Well, let's pray together before we look at God's Word. Lord, we thank you for just the testimonies and of what you have done in the nations and what you're going to do in the nations. Thank you for the privilege we have of being those that share the gospel, those that go and share. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of a church that sends. And so, Lord, we praise you and thank you. But Lord, now as we turn to your word, we ask you, Lord, to speak to us, to refresh us, to feed us, Lord, on your word. And so, Lord, we pray that you would richly speak to us through your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. So imagine this scenario with me. You are at a meeting, maybe a fundraiser, maybe a church gathering, a corporate gathering, and you meet someone, and you start a connection with them, you start talking to them, and you realize that as you're talking, you've got a lot in common with them. And you really think, well, you know, and if you're a salesperson, you're probably thinking, man, I could sell them some of the product I've got. I just need to get to know them a bit better. Or if you're someone that's of purer motives, say, man, we could be friends. You know, we could really be friends. But the agenda of the night continues and presses on, and so you're not able to connect with them immediately. So you exchange phone numbers, and what do you say? Let's grab coffee sometime. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's kind of an Americanism. It's like, let's grab coffee sometime, even if you don't drink coffee. It just means let's get together and get to know one another better, because I think we could be friends. I think there's a connection here. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you may think, well, maybe God has something in store for us getting to know one another, and there's some connections that we can have. And this happens all the time as we meet people. What if I told you that God is reaching out to you all the time in the same way? And he's saying, just grab some time with me. Just get to know me. Because I want to show you so much about myself. I want to teach you so much about myself. But we're so busy in our schedules, we say, well, God, can we just exchange phone numbers? I'll get back to you later. But God's saying, no, I want you to get to know me. God wants to reveal himself to us. You know, this is a series on hearing God's voice. And if we're truly honest with ourselves, if we're really honest with ourselves, we don't really want to get to know God. We just need God when we have a crisis in our lives, when we have something that we have a friend that we need to pray for, or we have an illness, or we have an upcoming exam, or we have an upcoming crisis that we're looking at, and we say, now I need God. God, I need to know you. I need to know your will. God, I need you now. But when things are going well, when things are going really comfortable in our lives, so often the remote control's much easier to reach out to than the Word of God. So much of our lives are so controlled with busyness and other things that we don't really want to take time and get to know God and spend time with him. And this is the second part in the series on hearing God's voice. Last week we looked at, why does God speak? And remember, we looked at Samuel, the calling of the prophet Samuel. And at that time, he was only 12 years old. And remember, he heard God calling him, and he was sleeping, he was lying down, and he thought it was the high priest Eli. And he kept running back to Eli, remember? And then finally, Eli realized it was God speaking to him and said, tell him, speak, Lord, your servant hears. And Samuel encountered God. He didn't sleep the rest of the night as he was processing all that God had told him and spoken to him. And we found out that even 1,000 years before Jesus, and even today, God speaks. God still speaks to his people. God still encounters people in miraculous and supernatural ways. But there's two primary reasons we found out that God speaks. The first one is for us to get to know him, to develop a relationship with him, to encounter him. God speaks so that we will know him. He wants to reveal himself to us. And as we learn more about him, we learn about his character and his nature. And we learn about what pleases him. And secondly, God speaks to call his people to obedience, to call his people to commission them like he did for Samuel. God spoke to Samuel to introduce himself to Samuel because Samuel didn't know God. You know, we think, well, Samuel was in the temple for 12 years, or at least 9 years, and he didn't know God. He was serving faithfully, but didn't know God. God speaks to introduce himself, to form that relationship, but then to commission, to send. And God commissioned Samuel. And we need to learn, the most important thing is we need to learn obedience when God speaks. Sometimes when God speaks and tells us to do something, we think, can I get a second opinion? Can I test that? Can I try that again? And there's nothing wrong with asking God to confirm his word to us. But when God speaks, we need to obey. Because it's for our good. It's always for our good when God speaks. So, back to the problem we mentioned earlier of the fact that when we come to God, it's generally for our own purposes. We come to God generally if there's a need, if there's something that we have a crisis in our lives. But God wants us to know him, to worship him, to adore him, to get to know him, to understand his majesty. And then out of that relationship with God, we develop a lifestyle of walking with God. And so often people will come and say, I wish I knew God's will for my life. And so they come to God and they pray, God, show me your will for my life. And God's saying, just walk in the Spirit. Walk in a relationship with me. God invites us into a relationship with him. And then he says, walk with me. Walk with me. And when we find that we're walking with God, we're walking in his will. We don't have to ask him for his will because we're doing it. We're just following him in that. That's for next week. That's just a teaser for next week's sermon. So come next week and you'll hear what that's all about. But this week I want to look at the how of God speaking, how God speaks to us. And I want to look at another commissioning. It's the commissioning and the calling of Moses. You'll remember this account really well. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses encountering God, speaking to him through the burning bush. So we're going to look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. So if you'll open your Bibles, and if you bring your Bible to church, it's because you're expecting to hear God speak. Okay? So bring your Bibles to church. We say we have an expectation, but then we don't open God's Word. How can we have that expectation? So Exodus 3, verse 1 through 6. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you stand, the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Little did Moses know that morning, when he took his sheep out into the wilderness, and he saw the sun rising, little did he know that he would encounter God that day.
But as he was going about his day-to-day task and his daily schedule, he saw something that was unusual. Something caught his eye. And you notice there's a little crazy in Moses because he was talking to himself. There was no one around, and Moses says, I will turn aside to see what this great sight is, why the bush is not burned. So Moses was paying attention. God is always speaking to people, but they need to be attentive. We need to be attentive. Looking for those burning bushes, looking for those unusual things in our daily routine. Moses didn't go to the temple. He didn't go to a specific place and say, okay, God, speak to me now. He was going about his daily life, and God spoke to him. God today is still looking for people who are attentive and alert for for the voice of God in the midst of their daily schedule. And God's also looking for people who will respond when he speaks to them. And what follows in the next two chapters is one of the most significant but also the most extensive conversations that we have recorded anywhere of a dialogue between God and man. This is a fascinating account, but it's also very significant because not only did it change Moses' life, it changed the course of history for Egypt. It changed the course of history for the nation of Israel. This is a significant dialogue between God and man. God essentially is going back to the covenant that he formed with Abraham and saying, I'm going to fulfill that covenant, and this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to start by speaking out of a burning bush. Isn't that amazing how God always works in the unusual and the least expected way? So after 40 years of being trained in the courts of Pharaoh, Moses goes into the self-imposed exile in the wilderness. Because remember, he had killed the Egyptian, and he fled Egypt because he thought, well, I better get out of town, I'm in trouble. And he fled Egypt, and he imposed an exile on himself for 40 years. So now he's 80 years old, he's in a dry, barren wilderness, and spiritually he's dry, and he's at a barren place himself. And he thinks, well, I'm just going to live out my years in this wilderness and just hopefully die without causing any further trouble. But then God spoke. God intervened in that situation. And he's drawn to this strange bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. In other words, there's fire, and the bush is clearly on fire, but it's not being consumed. It's not burning up. And God calls Moses out of that bush. Moses, Moses. And it's clear there's no one else around. He must have been scared to death. He must have been terrified. I don't know if you've been out in the middle of nowhere where the silence is loud. Ever been out there where silence is actually loud because there's no sound around? And he has these bleating sheep around him, and this voice comes out of this bush. He must have been terrified, all alone on this mountain. And he simply responds, here I am. He didn't know who was calling him at that time. He says, here I am. And I'm sure he looked further into the bush to see if there was someone in there. Is someone speaking to me? And then God reveals himself in verse 6. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. You know, during this discourse that God has with Moses over the next two chapters, Moses does everything he can to disqualify himself. He tells God about all his weaknesses, all the things that he can and cannot do. He tells God that he is not the right guy for the job. You've made a mistake. You've come to the wrong wilderness, God. You're calling the wrong man. But God knows who he's calling. God knows exactly who he is calling. Moses didn't have to tell God anything that God didn't know. And that's the same way with people today. When God calls, we come with this false humility and say, well, no, God, I can't. I'm not a public speaker. Moses said he wasn't a public speaker. No, God, I have this baggage in my past. You know I can never do anything for you because of that. God knows who he is calling. And it's not because he's calling you. He's calling Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. God knows who he is calling because he knows who you are in Christ. God knows exactly you. He knows your weaknesses and your brokenness. But God's calling out of you the Jesus in you, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because as a Christian, Galatians 2:20 says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. That's who God is calling when he's calling you. In ourselves, in our own flesh, we have nothing that God needs. Do you hear that? God doesn't need me. God doesn't need anyone in this room. But God calls us. He invites us and says, if you'll say yes, I will put my spirit in you and my power in you, and the world will see my glory through you. That's the purpose of God's calling. God called Moses, and Moses was humble, he was shy, he was not a public speaker. But then a few chapters later, in Exodus chapter 19, we see just a few months later, Moses now taking the children of Israel out of captivity, they come to the same mountain range and they come to Mount Sinai and they encounter God. God speaks to them and it's a completely different encounter. We're going to read it in Exodus 19, verse 16 to 19. Moses was a different man. He had a boldness, he had a courage that he didn't have back in the wilderness when he was by himself. So follow with me, Exodus 19, verse 16. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. That trumpet blast was not from any man. There was no one in the children of Israel camp that blew a trumpet, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. Isn't that significant? He says, come follow me. I want you to meet God. How could he do that? Because Moses knew God. And he invited them in and said, come, I want you to meet God because I met him and I know him and he's good and he's powerful. And so the people come out and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. Wow. Can you imagine it? Can you picture that? A whole mountain trembling as the presence of the Lord descended on the mountain, trumpet blast getting louder and louder, God speaking in thunder, and Moses walking up to the mountain and speaking to God. Isn't that incredible? Moses was a different man. We get a tiny glimpse into the awesome presence of this God, the presence of God on the mountain. But Moses knew God's voice. Moses was growing in his relationship with God. He didn't ask, who is that? Who are you? Moses knew God, and it changed him. God speaks to develop a relationship. Remember that from last week. So God had developed his relationship with Moses throughout the time, and it changed him. It changed him from being a sheep herder that was in exile in the wilderness to being now one of the greatest leaders in all of history, just in a couple of months, literally. How does that happen apart from the supernatural power of God on someone? Moses was changed. This is what the call of God can do. This is what the call of God can do on anybody's life. When someone hears the voice of God, hears God calling them, God does the equipping. But we must never underestimate the call of God on someone's life. Never underestimate the call of God on someone's life. And then never dismiss the call of God on someone. God can use Moses and make him one of the greatest leaders in all of history. God can use anyone because it's not us, it's him. It's the power of God in us that does the work. So as I said last week, God still speaks today. You know, the question is not does God speak, if God speaks. God does speak today, thousands of years after Moses, thousands of years after Samuel. But how does God speak to us? Yeah, for Moses, God spoke out of a burning bush, and then God spoke out of a mountain as he descended on the mountain. God speaks in a variety of ways. But just because God spoke in that way then doesn't mean to say he's going to do the same thing now. And just because God has never spoken in that way doesn't mean to say he can never do that again. You know, God is the same. We know that from the Bible. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. But he's always doing something new. Did you get that? God never changes, but he's always doing something new. Because he's changing us. He's changing the world. He's changing nations. We can never put the omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful God in a box and say, well, he's never done that before. I don't think he can. God can do whatever he likes. And so before you start questioning, though, my basis for all this, I believe God speaks primarily through his word. Through the word of God, through the Bible. He has given it to us as his special revelation of himself. That's where we go to first. God speaks through his word, the Bible. But as I said a few weeks ago, as I was speaking about the revelation of God and we were speaking about the Bible, God also speaks through nature. The general revelation of God is in nature. All of created order speaks of God. All of created order is worshiping God. I don't know if you remember the picture that we shared about the wellspring that we saw underneath the lake in Macedonia. That was God speaking. It was a supernatural, divinely orchestrated, natural event, but it wasn't natural. God took the spring of water where there was no spring, and we were able to witness it, and we were able to see what God is doing. God is speaking all the time through nature. But then we have God's special revelation. God's special revelation of himself is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah who took on flesh, incarnate God himself, fully God and fully man. That is God's revelation of himself, his special revelation. But Jesus is the Word of God. And so the Word made flesh was dwelt amongst us, but then Jesus gave us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his Word. And these pages speak from Old Testament to New Testament. They reveal Jesus to us, speaking of Jesus from cover to cover. So God primarily speaks through his word. It's our starting point. It's how we develop our relationship with him, how we get to know him. We filter everything through the word of God. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. All of Scripture, even those pages that seem to be just lists and lists of names, why is that in the Word of God? Well, there's something in there for everyone as we read God's Word. But for us to hear and respond, we don't just look at God's word, we don't just read it, we meditate on it, we soak in it, we read it over and we look back at it and allow God to speak to us. It doesn't matter how many times you read through the Bible, cover to cover, God's still going to speak to you through it. I can read the same passage years later and get something completely new that applies to me. Now, when we read God's word, we have to remember there's two things. Remember who it was written to. Read it in the context of who it was written to. It applies to us, but it was written, especially the New Testament, to the first century church. It was written to them in their context for their application. But it speaks to us because the Holy Spirit is constantly speaking to us through his word. It's living, it's breathing, it's alive. The other thing is when you're reading God's word, don't just read one verse and take that and say, well, there's my promise. Read the whole chapter. Read two chapters. Read that verse in context. Because so often people take one verse and say, there it is, I got it. And they forget the context that it was in, and it means something completely different when you take it out of context. So don't just read one verse. Read a whole chapter. Read two chapters. And allow God to speak to you through his word. But having said that, God is not limited to speaking only through his word, through the Bible. God used a rooster to crow three times to speak to Peter. God used a donkey to speak in the Bible. God used many different things throughout nature. God is constantly revealing himself and speaking through nature. God speaks to us through others, through other people that we invite into our lives or people that speak into our lives. God speaks to us through the wisdom that he has given to others. Moses, God told him in Numbers chapter 15, verse 2, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land you are to inhabit, which I am giving you. God told Moses to speak to the people, to instruct them. And then in Isaiah 28, verse 11, for by people of strange lips and with a foreign tongue, the Lord will speak to his people. Again, if God speaks to you through someone else, it'll always come in confirmation of his word, the Bible. That is always our filter. God speaks to us through circumstances, through things that happen in our lives that line up. In Genesis 50, verse 20, we read about Joseph. Remember how his brothers had threw him out and told their father that he'd been killed and he'd been taken into slavery in Egypt. And Joseph says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Joseph saw the hand of God in the situation that he was in. The terrible situation that Joseph went through, he saw the hand of God in it, orchestrating it. If it wasn't for Joseph, the children of Israel, the people of Israel would never have survived. God was working. God used a seemingly impossible circumstance to redeem his people. God speaks to us through words of wisdom and knowledge. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12, we have the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God gives to the church. And he says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the Spirit of the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us, and then he uses other people as they exercise their gifts. This is why we need to be a church that's exercising the spiritual gifts God's given us. You know, we're a church full of so many people who have the gift of help and service and encouragement, and that's great. But there's many of you that God has given the gifts of words of wisdom and knowledge, and we need that. Again, when you get something like that, you filter it through God's word. You test it. You see if it's from God. But we need to be able to exercise this in our church. God also speaks in an audible voice. Now, I can say I've heard God speaking to me in an audible voice. I've never heard that. Maybe I have. I don't know. But often it's just the still small voice of his presence. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. But in 1 Kings 19, verse 11 to 12, we read how the prophet Elijah, he went up on the mountain to speak to God, and there was this rushing wind that tore through rocks. God wasn't in the wind. Then there was the earthquake. God wasn't in the earthquake. Then there was the fire. God wasn't in the fire, but there was this whisper. And Elijah came out and he covered his face because he didn't want to see God, but God spoke to him audibly. I wouldn't be here today if God didn't speak to me. I wouldn't be standing here today if I didn't hear God speaking to me. Because it's when God speaks to you that he gives you the courage and boldness to do things that you know you cannot do. But God speaks to us today. And usually as I spend time with God, I'll let you into a little of my routine is I spend time with God with a Bible and a journal. And we'll talk more about this next week, but I have a journal because I am probably like most of you. When I just close my eyes to pray, my mind starts wandering, start thinking about other things, and pretty soon I'm dozing off. So what I do is I write out my prayers. I physically write out, and I don't always word for word, but most of the time my journal is my prayer life with God. And then I pause and I wait for God to speak to me. I wait for that still small voice. Sometimes I've asked him a question. And usually when God starts speaking to me, it's, I love you, my son. When I hear that, I know God's speaking. Because he is my father, and he is a good heavenly father. And I pay attention when I hear that, I love you, my son. And God starts speaking to me. And when he does, I write down what he says. I just write it down, whatever I feel God saying to me. And again, I test it. Because when God speaks to us, he's always going to confirm it in his word. But so often in my journals, I'll have quotation marks where I'll say, okay, God's speaking now, and I'll put quotation marks, and I'll just write it down. And I look back over my journals over years past, and I'm amazed to see that what I thought was crazy I was writing down, God actually did. He's faithful to his word. I know some people that when they journal, they have two pens. And the one they use with what they're praying and asking God, and the other one they're using, well, if God speaks to them, I'm going to pick up that pen and I'm going to write that down. Different colors so that you can see that was God speaking. Now, there's been times when I've written down things when I thought it was God speaking, but it was way off and it didn't come to pass because we're imperfect. Our minds are full of different ideas and thoughts. So test it. Not everything you put in quotation marks is definitely the voice of God, but it's just tested. Allow God. And that's an exercise, a development of our relationship with God. And again, we got to test it with his word. And God still speaks in dreams today. You know, Daniel was one we know in the Bible had many dreams of interpretations of dreams, and God spoke to him through that. But today, thousands upon thousands of Muslims are coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior because Jesus is appearing to them in dreams. Thousands. And you just look it up and you'll see. And these are credible references of whole villages where no missionary has been to that became Christian. And the missionaries show up and they say, teach us about Jesus. We decided to follow him because he showed up to us in a dream. This is happening all over the world. We need to pay attention as the church because Jesus is on the move and he is raising up a church that we knew nothing about as God is doing a mighty work in these days. So these are, and many more ways in which God speaks to us. But again, we must be careful to test what God is saying. And again, I would say God will never contradict Scripture. So if somebody comes to you and says, I have a word for you, and they tell you, you know, that if you give me $1,000, God's going to give you $10,000. This is the word from the Lord. Test it against Scripture. And you can pretty quickly say, that's not God's word. It's not from the Lord. Test everything you hear against the Bible, the word of God. And then secondly, God will never ask us to do anything that does not exalt Jesus. It's all about his glory. So if somebody comes to you with a word that's about your exaltation and how great you're going to be, it's probably not God. But if it's about how God's going to use you to make the name of Jesus known, that could be God. God's never going to exalt you before he exalts Jesus, his son. So those are two simple tests. Test the word. You know, God's not going to be upset with you if you say, is that really you speaking to me, God? Are you surely, you want to be sure before you jump off the cliff that knowing that God's told you to do that, right? And so often that step of faith is a huge step of faith. If God is speaking, it's okay to test him. But when you have that confirmation, you must say yes. And you must do what he has called you to do. So as we close, you may say, well, I don't hear God. I don't hear God speaking to me. He's never spoken to me. I don't know what you're talking about. This makes no sense to me. And you're not unique in that. A lot of people being faithful followers of Jesus, faithfully in the church, doing everything that they're called to do and doing everything faithfully. But they don't know the voice of God. They don't know that relationship with Jesus. When they read God's word, it's not coming alive to them and speaking to them. All I can say is it's about positioning ourselves. Positioning ourselves to hear God speak to us. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. We have to learn to be still. This world is crazy. It's, you know, with the more access we have to information, the crazier life gets, the busier life gets. There's not a single minute of the day that you aren't able to access information. I was in a doctor's waiting room this week, and it is so interesting to see people, because 15 years ago, 20 years ago, this would never have been the case. But everybody is looking on their phones. And you go to any place, you even go, you know, you've got 30 seconds in an elevator waiting to get out of your floor, everybody's on their phones. Because we don't want to speak to each other. No, we could never speak to someone else in an elevator. No, that's breaking protocol. But everybody's on their phones, and what are they doing? They're feeding their mind with information. It may be Facebook, it may be garbage, it may be the news of the day, but we're being inundated by noise, by information all the time. We need to learn to be still, to be quiet. We need to learn to journal, to pray to God, to write down our prayers. Next week I've already purchased them, a bunch of journals that we'll have on the back table. So as you leave, you can grab one. There's only one condition. You got to use it. Okay? So we got some good deals from Lifeway on some journals, but so that we'll provide them free next week. But it's not a diary. Okay? It's not, hey, dear diary, this is what I did today. No, your journal is your dialogue with God. You're speaking to Him and Him speaking to you. Write out your prayers. Stay focused. But you know, in this world that we live in, the reason we don't hear God's voice is because there's so much garbage, unfiltered garbage that we see, we witness, we experience every day. And the valuable guidance we get from the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if it's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about them. Dwell on them. Fill your mind with them. Meditate on Scripture. Meditate on what God's doing. And when you do that, we'll be able to hear God's voice so much clearer, so much better. There wouldn't be all this garbage we have to filter out of our lives. The truth is that what we think about is what we focus on. You know, if you're someone who often talk about, they used to have, you know, the saying, the radio talk show hosts were talking heads. I think nowadays they're screaming heads, because there's just crazy screaming all the time. It's opinion. It's not affecting your life. When you open God's Word, allow Him to speak to you. Allow Him to be the voice that you listen to. I wanted to start a campaign, jokingly, with someone else the other day about having an eyes up campaign. You know, get your eyes up out of your phone and just raise the eye level a little bit. But what if we raised our eye level instead of looking at people around us, but also looking at heaven and focused on heaven? God, what are you doing in the world today? God, what are you showing me about this situation that I'm encountering right now? God, give us a heavenly perspective. Give us an eternal perspective of what you're doing in the world today. It wouldn't create fear in us, but rather we will know God. When you know God, you're not afraid of anything else, because God is your perspective. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." You know, if the goal of our lives should be, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to become more like Christ. Have you heard that goal before? We want to become like Christ. We want to become more like Christ. That is God's desire for us. And we need to take this seriously. That's the will of God for us. When people say, "What is God's will for my life?" It's to become like Jesus. That's very simple. To just become like Jesus. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I just encourage you to develop a lifestyle of hearing God speak, a lifestyle of getting up in the morning and grabbing coffee with God and letting Him speak to you, allowing Him to transform your life, writing down what He says, testing what He says, and being obedient to God's will. Today we're going to share in communion together. And communion is a time where we remember what Jesus has done for us. We remember the cross. We remember the sacrifice, the blood of Jesus shed for us that cleanses us from all our sin. But this is open to all who know and love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This is to followers of Jesus. And this is a starting point, if you will, of us hearing God speak to us. And so as we share this today, I invite you to participate. But also, we're going to do it a little differently, where you can come and receive the elements, but then go back to your seat. And I want you to spend some time quietly, not thinking about those around you. Just take the elements when you have time, and I'll explain later, but just take them on your own, praying and asking God to speak to you, okay? And if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior here today, I invite you today not to leave this place. Come to me after the service. Come to one of our ministry team after the service, and let's pray together that you would know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So we're going to sing, and then we're going to gather around the table. So our worship team is not up yet. But we're going to sing together. And again, I invite you to participate in this table if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then we'll worship as we do so. Thank you. With us as we sing. We're just going to sing the first verse, and then we're going to enter into a time of communion. You may be seated. Yeah, we've been thinking about hearing God's voice, and this is, it's personal, it's a relationship with Him, but It's available to us only because of what's represented here. The body of Jesus broken for us, His blood given for the forgiveness of sins. And as we do that today, I want you to come and receive the elements. Come forward if you can. If you're unable to come up front, we have deacons at the back that will just raise your hand and they'll bring the elements to you. But I want you to take the elements and just hold on to them and just prayerfully take them in your own time. Just prayerfully take them and pray, thanking God for what He has done. And maybe just say, Lord, if there's anything you want to share, if you want to speak to me now, I'm available to hear you speaking to me. And then we'll just prayerfully go through that. In Hebrews 10, we read, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Eric's going to lead us now in a prayer of thanksgiving for the elements.
Lord, it's such an honor to come before you to thank you for dying on the cross for us. Lord, if it wasn't for you, Jesus, just as we've sang today, Lord, and spoke about, it's all about you. You are at the center. Lord, even as we partake in this communion, this Lord's Supper, you are at the center. And you've asked us to celebrate this, to commemorate, to do it in remembrance of you until you come. So, Lord, I thank you for the bread that represents your body that was broken for us. Thank you for breaking your body. By your stripes, we are healed.
In 1 Corinthians we read, and the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So as you would like, come forward and receive the elements and then go back to your seats. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us, your desire to have a relationship with us, for us to get to know you. Thank you that you're a good Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate what you have done for us through these elements, and that you've given us a body to belong in, a body to exercise the gifts that you've given us, a family to be a part of. Lord, we pray for your church today. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us with an unusual love for each other, an uncommon unity with each other. And even as we have just participated in this meal, Lord, we thank you for your blessing. And Lord, pray that your Spirit would rest on us in, again, as we leave this place, Lord, not in to our separate ways, but Lord, together, as you have called us to be your body. Thank you again for what you have done, and thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close by singing just the final verse of that song, and if you'd stand with us. And then just a reminder that every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, we have a benevolence offering, which you'll see the ushers on your way out, and that goes to help people in our community. And so if you can contribute to that, let's sing together. And again, if you have anything that you'd like prayer for, we have a prayer ministry team up front. And I'd love to pray with you as well. Thank you.
Sin and shame, blindness. My heart has peace with God.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you as you go. And remember, write down what God says to you, and let's share it together in Jesus' name. Thank you.